Yeah, we're recording. I didn't even give you guys a second to think about it.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
Stoked Podcast.
Welcome back.
Who's all here today?
The gang's
it's a full house.
Yeah. Everyone. Yep.
Ryan, Nick, Mikkel, Todd.
Yes.
And we don't know what we're going to talk about.
We really don't.
Man. Wild animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything we talked about already is censored information. So
we just want to keep Nick alive a little longer.
Oh, geez.
If we were to say it all here, he'd be a dead man.
Just kidding.
I'm kicking. I'm alive and kicking.
Yeah. I want to tell you guys about something that happened to me this morning.
Uh-oh. Dang.
Yeah. Well, so they're building the high-speed rail, right? And there's a big section where it leaves like Fresno to Madera County over across the San Joaquin River. Mm-hmm. And so I drove my Jeep over there and took a picture right at the big bridge that they built.
Yeah.
And my Jeep's right where the railroad will lay, right? So I wanted to get that picture. It was Mother's Day. I had the whole family. They're all in dresses and the wife's got flowers. And so hopefully like 20, 30 years from now, you can look back at that picture and the railroad, who knows? Yeah. Who knows if it'll still be in progress.
It's going to be like apocalypse. Like, it's just going to be scorched earth.
They're going to be bringing slaves, transferring them.
So anyways, my Jeep is super dirty from this dirt road. So this, and I'm supposed to go pick up a bunch of coworkers and drive to a casino.
You have a tough job.
Yeah, man. Right. And so I went to get it washed at this car wash, and I'd never been to this car wash before. And so, but it was convenient. You know, I needed to get on the road quick. So I just pull in, and it's a full like car wash. Like you drive through, you know, like you put it in neutral and it pulls your car through. So
I'm surf and turf.
I could just see it off the corner of my eye as I'm rounding the corner. So then I pull in and I realize that there's no like machine to put your card in, you know, to pay. And as I'm pulling further and further ahead, I'm like, oh no, am I at the back end? Then this guy comes out, another guy sitting there by this tip bucket. Okay. And he comes out and, I said, oh, do I got to pay inside? And he's like, no, I could take your card. And I said, okay, great. So he takes my card, doesn't tell me how much it costs. I have still no clue how much And then I said,
did he swipe it on his phone?
He walked it into the little room. And so I said, hey, can you add tip to that? As the guy sitting next to the tip jar, you know, the other guy, right? And he's like, the other guy sitting next to the tip jar is like, oh, we can't do tip on cards. And I'm like, oh, crap, right? So now, and mind you, this car wash is bonkers weird, okay? I put it in neutral, and there's literally five guys who are hand washing my Jeep. And one's got a pressure washer. The other one's literally like scrubbing the bugs off the front of my car with looks like some sort of like a
Brillo pad
or something. Yeah, I know, right?
Loofah.
Writing his name in my Jeep because no tipper or something.
Put a heart on it.
And then as it goes through, there's another guy who's after the soap hits it. The only thing that's really automated is it pulls your car through and it spits out soap and then it spits out water. But there's guys with sponges.
No hand air dryer or what?
There was a little air dryer, okay. But the end they hand dry, and there's five guys, and I go through and I don't have any way to tip, and so I'm feeling like crap. So then I pull in and I go into the convenience store, I buy a Red Bull, get cash back, and then I have my $5 tip, and so I walk around the corner where I pulled in to, you know, give my $5, and I walk around the corner and there's no one there.
Smart. Got played. What?
No one.
Got played.
And so I'm like looking down the thing and I see a car kind of farther back in there and they're working on it, but they don't, no eye contact, nothing. So I'm like trying to wave with my $5, like, hey, you know, and nobody's looking at me. It's like I'm oblivious. I'm so far, you know, removed from down this pipeline. And so anyways, I was like, I'm not going to get credit for my $5 tip here. They're not going to see that this gringo is not a Scrooge. So anyways, I put it in, I started walking away, and then I realized the Lord sees that. He's happy with that. And there's where I should be content. And honestly, like I it was like a, why did it
was
take
the
me,
bucket empty?
Why did it take me so long to
because to, you tip to, so people see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Oh, there's where my heart's at. Instead of trying to, you know,
was the bucket full of money?
This guy's out. I have no clue.
It was like a little.
Yeah. I should have a heart for that person, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so that's why I don't tip, is because I want them to be better and work harder. So I say no tip for you. I'm joking.
Yeah. So anyways, Todd has something.
Oh, man. You're going to drag me into this already?
Yeah. You can see I've slimeballed it up. Now it should be really easy for you.
Dang.
Yeah.
So I have yet to tell this story under 10 minutes. So I'm not gonna try not to do this. Anyway, this is just one of these glory stories, not about me. It's all about Jesus, right? But I did a job. Anyway, I got a call from a guy the other day, and he's like really excited. And he's like, oh man, you did my floors like a month and a half ago. Out of all the money we spent on the project, like we are thrilled with your work. We couldn't have asked for more. And
pretty badass floors.
Yeah. It was a herringbone. It was there was some tricky stuff to it, and it did really come out nice, but, it was a lot of work, and you know, I was really trying to keep my composure because it's very, very small scale, very detail oriented, and it's just hair pulling the whole time. But anyway, the lady that was at the job, super, super sweet old lady, always walking around barefoot. Never met her husband because he had a heart transplant like 10 years ago, and he can't be around construction stuff because it jacks with him, and he's on special medication to not have his body reject this heart. Anyway, it's a touchy situation, but, you know, we talk maybe every day for 15 minutes, you know.
You and this old lady?
Yeah, okay. We just chat, you know. And, you know, the first day I was there, she had mentioned that she has to get up 3 or 4 times a night because her feet feel like they're on fire. Like, literally, literally like fire. And so she, you know, she's been to doctors. They can't, you know, they can't fix it. The only thing she could literally do is go get a foot bath with ice water and soak her feet in it when that happens. And so, you know, I was like, I'm going to pray for this lady when I get the opportunity. And, you know, we were there, you know, for a little over a week, but you know, I didn't have the opportunity. It was just like, for some reason, every time, you know, we were done, I had other workers there, and I felt like I'd rather go crazy pray and, you know, lay my hands on her and everything without an audience or anything. So, she didn't really mention God, but, what basically happened was, I finally got the opportunity. It was the last day I was there. Everybody had gone home. I said, hey, can I pray for you? I want to pray for your feet. And so, you know, like I just waged war against yes, any
for my dad's feet, man. Sorry.
Yeah. I waged war for her feet and for God to have mercy on her. She was, you know, probably in her late 70s. So she was like, yeah, she smiled, and I'm like, okay, I literally put my hands on her feet and prayed over them and just called every angle, you know, that I could, like, angels, you know, I need your help. God, have mercy on this lady. Fill her with your presence from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Like, I pray the blood of Jesus. If I cast out any spirits of infirmity that might be, that might be causing this problem. And so fast forward, like, I'm driving home the other night, and this guy calls out of error code number. I tried hanging up on the phone several times and it wouldn't hang up, and it kept ringing and ringing and ringing. So I, I'm like, dang, I'm just going to answer it fully expecting it's like, hey, we've got you pre-approved for PPP funds or a loan or something. So
your
I'm
car's
like,
extended warranty.
Yeah. So I hit answer, and he's excited, you know, and I'm like, who is this guy? He thanks me for the work I did about a month and a half ago. He did a good job. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I know this this guy, you know. I mean, I never met him, but I know who the family is. So he was like, I never got a chance to meet you, but man, we love the floors. I'm like, thanks, you know. And I'm like, you know, this is a lot of excitement for a guy that, you know, just telling me, hey, good job. You know, you paid a lot of money for it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's like, I don't know what you prayed, but my wife is completely well.
Whoa.
And she's been well ever since you prayed for her. And I said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Wow. I'm so happy. I was like, yeah, you know, she was a very sweet soul. She wasn't even complaining about her feet. It just happened to come out in conversations, probably because she was wanting to explain why she has to walk around barefoot all the time. Mm. Anyway, so he, you know, he's had this heart transplant. He's talking about how he's had some near-death experiences. He's met Jesus. He's hovered over his body for 30 minutes. He's, damn, you know, had all these crazy, crazy, like died three times. You know, so we just had like this amazing conversation. And then to wrap it all up, he's like, you know, I've always tried to get her to come to church with me. I'm always in the hospital. And
no
so,
way.
Yeah. He's like, I'm always in the hospital. So like, I, you know, I like to pray for people too. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. You know, but he like can't get her to go to church. He says, you know, she's always been real hard against church because she feels like they're just...
Did she go to church?
No, I don't know if it ever got to that point, but he's like, damn, I hear her praying at night.
Wow.
In bed. And she doesn't have to get out of bed three or four
more
times.
More important than going to church. Yeah. Talking to the man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what a testimony that God still does. He still does work. And, you know, I know well enough that, you know, I'm not saying that it has anything to do with me, but I have been double-minded in the past where I prayed for people that I didn't honestly believe were going to make it or were going to be made well. I mean, I've only prayed one time in absolute faith and it didn't work out, you know, for me. But, you know, I have God like just putting these people in my heart, and literally like I've try to go out and pray for people that I hear are sick or not well. Hey, will you let me pray for you?
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Maybe.
Must be a song written in the 50s.
Garth Brooks, baby.
It's Garth Brooks, 90s, baby.
Yeah, Garth who?
Yeah. 1989.
But, you know, hey, look, just because it didn't come to fruition doesn't mean it's not still at play, you know?
No, I mean, I'm just like, it's like yes and amen. I'm not going into prayer double-minded. If I am, I won't offer. Like, I'm going to go in fully committed, fully in faith, fully believing, and you know, or I won't go at all. So I just feel like God was telling me, hey, pray for this lady. And you know, she was a sweet soul, but I think she has had a really rough life. That was a lot of the conversations we would have. Anyway, enough about that. Let's move on. I don't want my heavenly rewards jeopardized here.
That was uplifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Now we can downlift.
Let's go down.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to talk about an article I read recently. I actually read it today. It's been something we've been kind of talking about previously, where I mentioned that there's this kind of credit bubble that's forming, and an article came out today and I thought it was very fitting. Yahoo Finance had it, and he was talking about that there are an increase of 0.6%. Okay, so it sounds small, but it's climbing, and it's of 30-day delinquencies, 30 days or more delinquencies for the first 3 months of the year. It's increased just for the first 3 months. It's climbing up. So year over year, there's increase on credit cards and personal loans. Riskier borrowers are people who are considered below prime risk tiers, low credit scores, essentially. They're the ones that are starting to become more delinquent. And the record credit card balances are, you know, hitting the economy, right? Like I guess, is it hitting the economy? It's part of the economy, but
it's weird that this is happening while we're not in a recession.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's well, weird. I think
come on, man.
Easy money, it's right?
Awesome, man. It's awesome. Okay, man.
There's a 20%, yeah, 20% year over year growth of credit card debt. 20%, 20. That's insane. $1 trillion in outstanding balances on loans, personal loans, credit card loans. So, and then personal loans are up 26.3%. So the amount of debt that people are taking on is huge.
I just want to, did you hear about the number one market for lending right now?
No.
They're getting away from these high risk loans. They're literally, their market has moved undersea. And the merfolk are lighting it up. Oh, if boy. You are looking for property,
what is it?
You need to look into the underwater kingdoms. I'm telling you. Stop it.
Atlantean real
estate. I'm sorry, dude. I had to play you on that.
Because is that subprime mortgages? I can't tell.
It's submarine.
It's submarine. Good one.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, we kind of already know the culture, right, of today's day and age where it's like credit card debt. It seems like everybody you know has got it and is increasing it and living basically beyond their means. And you know, these percentages on some of these APRs on these cards are insane. And then they use one card to pay off another card. They're just moving the balances around, but they're not paying these debts. And
how many people have ever tried to get rid of a credit card?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had one for like something like 25 some odd years. Mm-hmm. Like when I started my business, I got a credit card. And I kid you not, you know, dude, I tried to get out from having it for a long time. People just charging my card monthly that I couldn't find numbers to. I couldn't get a hold of.
Oh, wow.
I kept calling them. And I finally, you know what? I'm shutting my card down. So every month, I would pay my card off, but I still had months to go, you know, months out in front of me that needed paid. And every time people would start putting charges on the card again. And so it was like, I'd like make the payment and then scale down my, my debt or my, availability to where I finally got it down to where nobody could put anything more than a dollar on my card. But I really thought,
How are other people putting money in your card, though?
I don't know. Like, we just had, like, three Amazon charges for movies that nobody rented or watched.
My bad. That was me.
Yeah, that's probably you. And they wiped them. You know, they actually took it off the charges. But, like, I kid you not, like, there were several charges every month. One of them was to a church organization, and I was donating a fairly substantial amount, couldn't get a hold of them. Had no number, tried to reach out on their website. Hey, you know, wow. I gotta stop charging my card. I'm you know, one of the reasons why is, you know, things got really tight. We're trying to pay off it, you know, pay off this credit card. And anyway, but hallelujah, on the 14th, done, like closed out, paid off, shut down.
This month. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And I wasn't running a debt, you know, I'd pay it off every month, but it was like they had me, you know, they just kept, kept charging things. I mean, just little things, but at the end of the month, it was like, you know, over 100, maybe more like $150 a month.
You know, what's funny is when you close a card, it hurts your credit score, which is hilarious.
I want my credit down because I want to qualify for the lower interest rate because I have horrible credit.
We talked about that.
No joke.
Yeah. They said that the number of borrowers in 2021's first quarter jumped 10% compared to the prior. So you have just the increase in the number of borrowers out there, 10% jump. That's pretty big. And the number of personal loans jumped 18%. So you see a lot of people taking out personal loans. Dang. So
what's the silver lining here? I hope there's a good ending.
Story. I don't think it's good. And I think I've said this before, but I really feel like once student loans because right now the federal student loans, they keep giving forbearance. People don't have to pay it because of COVID, right? They kept extending it. COVID's officially ended.
I actually paid mine in 2 years.
COVID's officially ended, so I don't know how you can continue to extend it. I think it'll be end up being a election talking point, you know, where you're probably going to have Biden saying that he's going to wants to extend it, but the Republicans won't let him, and he's going to use that as leverage, you know, because what's going to happen is all these people haven't paid. How long have they not been paying student loans? Right. 3 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And everything has gone up. Yes. Right.
And you know, when I start making more money personally, right, I start spending more money because I have more in my account. It's just kind of like a natural thing, right? You can make more money, you spend more money. Well, if you haven't been paying this bill for 3 years and then you're taking on more debt and you're going, when that starts back up again and people start having to pay these expensive student loans, which I'm thinking some of them are really high. I think my wife's is around like $700 a month, and we've been putting it into a separate account so that once it starts back up, we can dump a bunch of money on it and then go into it. But most people, you know, are probably not. And, so anyways, I just feel like these people who are at risk currently, and they're starting already to have delinquencies, I think that it's going to be a mega problem once these loans start kicking back in for people, and you're going to see a lot of, you know, turmoil.
Yes. This was quite the downturn story. Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping for something different here.
Mikhail, bring something positive. What do you got for us, buddy?
Tell me about credit forgiveness.
Well, I didn't mean it exists. There are some entities out there that can help out with that. I'm a beneficiary of one government plan to do that, where, you know, in the current position that I'm in, I just spent 5 years doing that and was able to wipe it clean. Ultimately, there's a lot of gloom when it comes to looking at the financial, borrowing and stuff like that.
We're going into recession. It's going to be ugly. And you know what's propping it up even more right now?
We're in recession right now.
Is jobs right now. We haven't hit the major layoffs. If layoffs start, people are out of work. They're not paying. They're already leveraged at this point. You know, when they start losing their job, then it's just going to be a domino effect. Yep. I think it's going to be brutal. Yeah. I think it's going to be brutal. Yeah.
Yep. Interacting with students who are going to college here soon, you know, it seems like a lot of them are in this idea that they have to. And genuinely speaking, yeah, they do have to borrow. For everything.
Don't get me started.
For education and all that stuff.
The government backs it up. So the schools raise the price. These schools are insane amount of money to go to university, but they know that the government has to guarantee that loan to these. If students eligible for it, the government, no matter how absurd the price is of that university, the government will write a check for Joe Smith to go to school. Mm-hmm. And so the universities aren't dumb. They know that. So they have these insane university prices. They know that these students are young, they're impressionable. They're 18, they're getting ready to go to college, and they're taking on these $50,000 a year, tuitions. And it's sad.
Yeah. There's a lot of them that are opening their eyes to that fact that, we have to borrow all this money, and they don't want to, for good reason, right? Yeah. Even though the school is telling them, even though the government is telling you, and their own parents are telling them that, it's fine. You just have to open up credit card debt and all that kind of stuff. It's just part of the gig. And they're like scared to do it, right? That's why I feel like a lot of them, want to get the jobs, but they don't want to do things like drive, or they don't want to, own very much stuff.
The generation.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I noticed that when I was younger, way back, I guess. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but everybody wanted to drive when they were 16. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. Now these these kids just don't care about driving at 16. It seems like it's very common.
And people don't start driving. Robin's like counting the days till he can get his permit.
Robin's, like,
they want to, but they don't want to own. They don't want to take out that. They don't want to do that. And for good reason, right? Because as soon as you open up that, you know, whole like car ownership and stuff like that, or like making those payments on it, it's scary, you know, and rightfully so, because there's a lot of uncertainty with the market and all that. They're, you know, scared, I think, and you know, it's legit. I mean, so they're always looking for those ways that, you know, is the school going to get paid for, books going to get paid for, those kind of things. And there are a lot of them, I feel, are conscious to scholarships and stuff like that, and they want to earn, but it's just they're fearful they're not going to be able to.
What would be your recommendation, Nick, for 18-year-old kid coming out of high school?
Run like hell. No. I would say
exactly. Take on the debt? What do they do?
Heck no. College is useless. Don't go.
Go to a trade? What are you talking about?
I would say YouTube University, or enter a trade. Figure out what you want to do first.
Yeah.
And then go for that job. Don't go for this broad general $200,000, $100,000, or even $30,000.
Gender studies degree.
I mean,
social workers degree.
Yeah. I went to college. I got my degree. I am in debt fully for Fresno State. And my degree.
Is that what caused your low sperm count?
Probably. Probably.
Yeah.
I think that. He thinks it's so funny. If I have a low sperm count, then they are very effective sperm. I'll say that.
That's true.
They're good swimmers. Nothing but the special forces.
Yeah, they come out. They yeah. they hold my underwear up, and they have a knife in their mouth, and they say, "Go, go, go, go." That's how it works. There may goodness. Be few, but they're mighty.
Few,
but no, I
little paratroopers.
Yeah. I think that if you know what you're going to, if what you want to do, go for it. But when I went,
they don't know when they're 18. I didn't know.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If they were smart enough to listen to this podcast, then I would tell them, don't do it. I would say,
your money, go to work, learn a skill.
Go learn, because you will not learn there. You'll learn how to party and drink and cheat on your homework, but you're not going to get anything valuable, I don't think, really, from college, other than the experience of having dragged it out for 4 years. And they're like, yeah, you put up with us. But I did learn about business. I will say that. But to our conversation earlier, I probably learned more from Shark Tank and just real world experience, being mentored by someone. I learned far more than whatever they taught in college. I think community college, a business course would be good, but I didn't find like a ton of huge value in upper division accounting classes.
Yeah.
Clearly did not help me.
I thought that the paper gave me some confidence, like, hey, I actually made it through.
False confidence.
Where'd you go to school, Brian?
DeVry University in the Bay Area. Okay. And, I wasn't the top of my class, I could tell you that, but I definitely got the fundamentals. But really, cutting your teeth in the industry is where you learn, you know.
Find a mentor.
I could
go get a job. Yeah. Go get a car.
Yes.
And I mean, a car that you purchased in cash. And you will be far ahead of someone that's 2 years in college.
A mentor is huge. I think a mentor is huge. Like fundamentally game changer, could propel you, save you 10 years of your life.
Rub shoulders with people that want to go the direction you're going. Cause I've learned more from people around me that have lives or have businesses or have the success that I want. And then people that are seasoned, like the owner of the last company that I was with, that guy took me under his shoulder, and I learned how to speak to people and deal with real life business transactions and problems versus you can't teach that, you know, in college. What do you do when this happens? And you kind of have to look at yourself as a person, and how do you want to interact with your client? They don't teach that. Mm-hmm. They teach you, you know, credits and debts, but
yeah. I mean, I've got guys that have worked for me. They put in their time, And if you work for somebody in the state of California for 4 years, like in a trade, mm-hmm. you just go pay the money and take your license test
like
and start on your own. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happens. And, you know, it's cool because I get to see guys that are, I guess you'd call them my competition now, but they're supporting their families, they're making it, and there's seemed to be more than enough work to go around.
Yeah. So I'm in the IT field, right? And you can get certified for like cheap and save yourself a huge, I mean, if I was to do it all again, I would take these certifications that are, when I say cheap, I'm talking like a grand tops, and you can go through a 4 or 5 month course and become certified in cybersecurity and wow. And have a $100,000 job the next day. You know, it's like, it's insane how if you just go through the right channels and you know what to do, you could get to a spot that doesn't require you paying down debt. I paid my student loan debt for 15 years or longer, wow. and it was over $500 a month. I wasn't making,
my God.
Yeah, I wasn't getting anywhere with it. It was like a debt I felt like I was going to have forever. It wasn't until I, you know, married my wife that she's like, you know, you're just paying the interest. You're going to pay this forever. And so she just took ownership of it and we paid it off.
Knocked it out.
Yeah. Thank the wife. Thank the Lord for the resources. And, but you know, it's like dumb tax. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
how much
that's
that,
true.
You know, I wish I had done it different, and I've got nieces and nephews and a brother-in-law who's younger, and you know, I would love to give them some cheat, you know, notes.
Yeah,
to
ask them if they want $100,000. Yeah. And then when they say yes, okay, don't go to college.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, no, I give a lot of advice to kids that if they're going to go, if they want to pursue something, then you gotta make it your, almost like your life's goal. Like that's what you want to do. Enough with this, you know, trying to find yourself kind of stuff, you know, with the colleges and university. Oh, I'm going to go undeclared now and then just kind of figure it out when I'm in there. It's like, no,
yeah,
you better get in there expensive. With a mindset. You better get in there. I mean, that's what my brothers did. They didn't necessarily do anything that was like high collegiate. But as soon as they were done high school, they worked a little bit here and there. But they went right into those programs, you know, maybe after getting associates. And then they went into their programs, one's in welding, the other one's in corrections. And so that, as soon as they finished those programs, they were in their early 20s out working those jobs. And I mean, now at this point, they're, you know, easily racking in, I don't know, 100,000 plus already, wow. you know, wow. already. And it's just, it is what you put into it, right? There, they put in their all into whatever they wanted to do almost immediately. And then from there, it just kind of continues to spiral. Oh, then this opens up. Oh, this program opens up. This job opening with this company opens up. They're looking for highly skilled workers, not like some bright-eyed, bushy-tailed college grad, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. They're looking for someone who's got their fingernails dirty mm-hmm. and knows the business, knows what's going on around here. And then, you know, they're a shoo-in. You know, they climb the ladder, right? So then by the time that, you know, they have young whippersnappers graduating coming in to their program, they're already like, top dog in there. They've been veteran for a while, and so they get, you know, best hours, most mm-hmm. most hours, all these things. And so you need to advice for people young pursuing things. It's like, figure it out now. What are you like super interested in, and go crazy into it.
Here's the one, you know, that
get nerdy scary. About it. Here's right, like that,
my daughter, she likes food. She's a foodie. She's skinny as a rail, but she loves everything about food. She likes cooking it. She's like constantly like critiquing food, I guess you could say. Like, it's just her, something that she is passionate about, and she, I don't even know if she fully realizes how passionate about it she is, but anyway, she wants to be a cook. And I'm like, oh God, please don't be a cook.
Why? What's wrong with that?
First of all, to be a cook, you're going to be working on the weekends and at dinner time when everybody else is wanting to eat, right? And secondly, cooks don't make a lot of money unless you're an executive chef somewhere.
That's the goal. There's a difference. Yeah. If she's going to be a cook like at Denny's, no. But if she's going to be a rock star chef, Michelin star, heck yeah.
Man,
so they make money.
Like, no,
and they're business owners.
Let food be your passion on the side, your hobby, and let your career be something that's, you know, because how many people are going to be making a good living?
I believe in her. I say, don't listen to your dad and pursue your dreams.
No, she's never listening to this episode. Yeah.
No, but in cases like that, you know, if the kid wants to be, you know, in that realm, put every effort into showing.
Damn it, Michael.
Showing, this is life, you know? This is.
You know what I would say?
Go ahead. Well, my other daughter wanted to work at McDonald's up until a couple of years ago. Thought that that
those
was
are good goals. You better start rubbing elbows with the McDonald's folks.
Yeah.
I think you should know what the pay is going to be like. And then if she's like, hey.
They don't know the difference between 50 grand and 100 grand. To them, it's like 50 grand. That's a fortune.
Oh, I get it.
And I'm like, you're going to survive. Yeah. You're going to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I always think this, and this is like, I'm gonna get shamed hard by your fan, Brian. I'm gonna get shamed by your fan.
You got a fan?
I guess so.
He's got a fan, man.
I probably got a couple.
The only fans.
Dang.
Brian only fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's a
such paper thin short pics.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You got V-talk and now only fans. Oh, yeah.
I think that one of the biggest things that our culture robs women of is this idea of being like a mother. And, you know, yeah.
That's not $100,000, Todd.
I know.
It's all about the money.
I think about, you know, a girl that, you know,
that's a good point though.
It's like you can pump a ton of collagen to them, and then if they really want to make the choice, it's probably going to be God ordained for their lives, for their marriage. It's going to be like she's going to find the most fulfillment out of. I'm realizing this as Nick's looking at me with that look. But no, like the most fulfillment is like, you know, raising kids and the blessing of having, you know, of waking up to them and spending your day with them and cooking for them, meeting their needs, nurturing them, doing all the things that mothers do.
Wipe props their to butts. Moms.
Yeah.
You know? And I will say Dre went through a program like what Mikkel was talking about where like she got her degree. She actually got her associate's and she got her degree. Then she went to training. Right, for nothing that had to do with her degree. She got a degree in child development. And then she went and got...
What?
Yeah.
And then
she...
I know this.
She went to, what do you call it? X-ray training or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Goes through a 2-year program. It's a trade, right?
X-ray
gets
tech,
out.
Yeah.
Boom. Got a job. Decent job. I mean, at the time, it was great. And she gave it all up to be a mom. And 5 years later, she's still... She wants to get out, like what Todd was just saying. We were just talking about she wants to maybe go back and work a little bit, but her version of going back to work a little bit is remotely at home so I can still homeschool the kids. Mm-hmm. But she's time and time again saying, I never want to go back. She just said that 2 days ago. I don't want to go back into an office because it's so fulfilling and satisfying to do what she feels she was designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That was Lace too. Lace's degree is in psychology. And anyone listening knows in psychology, you don't go anywhere with a bachelor's in psychology. Like you have, I mean, what did one of the professors say? You're going to go into HR. They talk to the class like they're all like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed psych degrees and wanting to be psychologists. Mm. It's like half of you are going to go into HR. That's it. Because it's a tough field.
It's kind of a master's doctorate kind of.
It is. Yeah. It is. If you're going to get into that field, but you know, and we blame the system for it. You know, Lace went through the whole 4 years, got the degree and bachelor's in it. And then she did apply for the master's program. Very, very difficult, very competitive field. A lot of it comes down to like rubbing elbows with the professors, rubbing elbows with, you know, people in that field, in order to be competitive. And I mean, I'll say it again, like if you're not doing that, if you're not completely passionate about it, then you're already behind others that are, right? Mm. And so in the end, we end up having Carbon Summit. Everyone comes through, and so it's like very, you know, life hits really fast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so yeah, she was wrestling with that for a long time. Like, you know, I have this degree, I've done all these things, and like the world is telling me I need to go to work, but I got these kids here, these children that need their mother. There's this nurturing that they need, these first
you
formative
just die
years.
For them, you know. Mm-hmm. you don't want them to to have anything lacking.
There's formative years here, and
there you go.
We just never felt good about, like, what was that term you used?
Latchkey kids.
Paying someone else to do it. What is that? Like,
outsourcing
these formative years of our children for daycare. And like people around us were doing it all the time.
Yeah. Perfect area to brainwash them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, brainwash or just, you know, in these very formative years, like not consolidate like emotions and interactions with people. It's like, mm-hmm. if you're like between different households, right? I mean, every place that these kids go is their house, you know, at some point, and every interaction that they have has an effect on them, right? Mm-hmm. So if they can only behave this way at home, and then they go out to, you know, daycare or something, or like preschool or whatever, and they have to act another way, well, it just totally messes up their worldview and mm-hmm. all these things, and they don't have like that solid
foundation
and grip on like you know, their social emotional ness, I guess, and then their interactions with like adults, and then other adults, and then your parents, and then other kids, and all those kinds of things. And so all that's to really say that, you know, Lace felt very compelled to just do that, you know, put all the resources towards this next generation that we have.
That's right.
You know,
it's probably the most important job in the world, honestly.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Artist for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tried it, right? When Lace was hospitalized for a few weeks.
That's right.
And I was like Mr. Mom for a little bit. It was one of the hardest things for me, you know.
I remember you saying something to her like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea what you
how much.
Through.
Oh yeah. Yeah. How much a mom at home does for her kids. Like I commend that to the highest levels.
Yes.
You know, and it is some people say it's not a job, and I don't say it's a job. It's more than that.
Yeah.
It's like a calling.
Yeah.
It is something that, you know, certain people are called to do, you know, and not everyone feels that same way, but
our society sure shames them for having those desires.
Exactly it. Yeah.
I think Dre, one thing that she wrestled with when she was making that decision, do I work, do I go home, was her identity and her worth. Mm-hmm. She found value in, I'm not a cook, but like a X-ray tech or whatever. It was her job, and the people around her, that's who she was.
You have a community at work they can talk to as well, and you get employee of the month, and there's recognition that you're not going to get at home.
You're being social, you're quote unquote free from the kids, and you are worth a certain amount here. You have certain, I don't know, prestige. And she sacrificed it completely, and come to find, I think that what she's doing now, what Lacey's doing now, like it's more in line with their identity and what they were, like you said, what they're called to do. Mm-hmm. I do think, I think that kids right now are being set up to go into the very system where I have to get a career, I have to do this, I have to do that. God will provide, but I think that I need to do this.
And in the meantime, you have men just wussing out, like they're dropping the ball, they're fumbling it as like, you know, the protector, provider, like the sacrificer, like the one who's going to like die for you, you know,
and spiritual leader.
We just have these morals. weak men, and it's all brainwashing. And honestly, like, it's testosterone levels. I don't know what's going on with that, but if you guys have looked into it, like even in the last 30 years, like testosterone levels in males have dropped like 30%. And
what do you think is attributed to?
I honestly
processed food. What's going on here? You think processed food?
I think it's I think it's chemtrails. I think it's food. I think it's farming. I think it's GMO.
Gay frogs.
Yeah. I think it's in our atmosphere. It's in our water. It's in our food. We've gotten so far away from like just more traditional small farms, like, you know, everything's corporate, and you know, they put barely what's necessary to harvest a big crop that's freaking worthless as far as nutrition goes.
How would I increase my testosterone?
That less is Vagisil. The Vagisil you're using might have something to do with it.
Serious question.
Serious? Yeah. Go to the doctor or work out.
Yeah, working out.
Dude. Okay. You know what I heard? I heard. Uh-oh. No joke.
It smells like a joke.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Getting set up here.
I think you are too.
No, seriously.
Grab your testicle.
Yeah.
Pull on them really hard.
It hurts. Oh, that means it's working.
If you hear a pop, you've just gone too far.
No, like seriously. I could think of so many different ways I could go. I'm going to be serious though.
Yeah.
Serious. Like ice baths or cold water, like seriously.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not even
I joking. Had my paper thin shorts.
Yeah. I'm talking like find a way to really shock your system with cold water.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? How?
It somehow releases. I'm sure working out too.
Mm-hmm. So I did a cryo tank recently. That is freaking cold. It was negative 88 is what it got to. Can go to negative 250. I don't even believe it. But negative 88, I sat in it, and it was, I didn't notice any testosterone difference, but it made me panic.
It releases, I thought I was gonna die. It releases certain proteins in your body that don't release unless you're, I think men were made to be
under duress, know, like always.
That, yeah. The thing is what it causes is a fight or flight.
Yeah.
So like there's endorphins and hormones that are released.
Yeah.
When you get to that temperature, and like I said, I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh man, something's going to explode or something's going to happen. So maybe it does your testosterone.
Yeah. Like, I mean, actually, I think it's almost counterproductive to do the reverse, which is what I like doing, like get in the spa and just chill. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, now that it's getting hot, I'm like, it's not as tempting,
desirable.
But I know my son Tyler was talking to me about, you know, like he tries to take cold showers or, you know, something to make that body shock. It releases some sort of proteins that are just kind of there, but they're stored. I don't know what they're called.
Interesting. I think Lace was telling me about an article she read recently about like, you know, men, you can even say cavemen if you believe that there is cavemen.
Brian, man. But knuckle dragon.
But yeah, like going out and hunting fulfills, right? The same idea of going forth, killing an animal and bringing it to your home, right? To your family, to that, that desire, there that innate action, desire that every single man has, right? Whether or not you believe it, or whether, you know, like, oh, my son doesn't do that.
It's show, there's a show on Netflix where they go hunting. Oh man, it's so good.
Bear hunting or hunting bears?
Now, he hunts all kinds of different animals, but he basically hunts it and then cooks it and eats it. Oh, and it's adrenaline rush for me, even though I'm just watching a guy freaking shoot a bow. Dude, it's, I feel like my whole energy level changes.
Yeah, I turn into a big old weenie because I'm like, no, I'm not killing that animal. Really? I cannot do it.
I went shooting. Yeah, well, I shouldn't say it, but I did. And I, instead of shooting a target, I saw a bird in the air, bam. And it felt so good.
Dude, was it a shotgun?
No, I shot it with an AR.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like 80 feet in the air.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't think it took like 3 shots. Dude, that head was missing. It was terrible. It feel good. Oh, everyone was crying around me. But
It's called Meat Eater. It's on Netflix. It's fantastic. He cook it? Yeah. And they really like make a good meal out of it. You know, it's like, they don't just cook it and eat it, but they
skin it,
process it.
Yeah. They process it, but they make really good food. It's not just like, you know, this is the meat. You know, doctor it up and stuff, but it's a bad show. But
check it out.
Like you're saying, it's like I feel the adrenaline. Yeah. Like I'm watching it and I feel something about it. Like it feels,
it's that same kick, that same that same rush that you get from doing that, right? Mm. The same feeling you get from killing an animal, bringing it to your home, being a supplier, right? What would you say? A provider. Right? A provider for your family. It's the same feeling you get from like building a fire or building a structure, doing something that is like capable, quote unquote manly, and doing that. It's working out also. Yeah, it's also, unfortunately, it's also the same feeling that guys get when they play video games too. Mm-hmm. Like 1v1 online.
And Brian, stuff, you need to just get on Call of Duty, man.
Call of Duty. It's that same kind of feeling, but it's not real. In the same sense, right? You're not really kind of providing anything necessarily.
You need blood,
it's the same
bones.
Endorphin. Yeah. It's the same
Ted Nugent style.
Yeah.
Dude, there are a bunch of feral cats in my neighborhood.
He's going to kill a cat and bring it home and cook it.
These undies are
cats. I could try these ice baths, okay? But if like a month from now I find out that you're playing me and I've been having ice baths for a month, dude, I'll be so pissed.
He's lost a whole inch.
What was in the pool? I didn't have a lot to work out with when it first started. Yeah.
Shrinkage.
I know the testicles are shrunk.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. That's too much. No, I seriously did try it. Maybe.
I think you should try it. I want to hear what happens.
Grapes have become raisins.
He's going to come in one day with the purse and just.
Oh, no. I'm ready for the podcast. All right. On that, I think it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're done.
It's a good, it's a good place.
We'll report back.
Thanks for tolerating us, folks.
Testosterone. Later. Week. Bye.